Join me for a hymn sing at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. This year's theme, Things Above. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
And despite their treatment of his prophets and finally their treatment of him, Jesus remains full of love for his city. As far as he's concerned, he's often tried to offer her children protection, like the mother hen protecting her chicks from the marauding hawk. He would happily have spread his protection over them and kept them all safe.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Luke.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Well, you no doubt recall that last time, Jesus continued his warning about how the day of grace isn't forever. He says, once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, knocking at it won't do you any good. He wanted people inside before the door was shut, and just claiming that they hung around with Jesus does no good on that day. We saw how that means even listening to preaching and receiving communion in and of themselves do not save a person, not if the gift of personal faith offered through them is refused. Jesus says on that day, the day when the door of grace closes, there will be lots of people filled with regret. That's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because part of the torture of the damned is to see clearly the blessed believers gathered together to the great feast. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, yes, and the prophets, but then also many who come from the four winds, that is, the Gentiles, who hear and believe the word, and so repent and are saved. So even though the Jews were the first called and the Gentiles the last called, on the inside of that closed door will be both Jews and Gentiles who believed, and on the outside, both Jews and Gentiles who did not. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 31. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Luke 13, verses 31 through 35. Let us pray. Blessed Jesus, at your word, we are gathered all to hear you. Let our hearts and souls be stirred now to seek and love and fear you. By your teaching, sweet and holy, drawn from earth to love you solely. All our knowledge, sense, and sight lie in deepest darkness shrouded till your spirit breaks our night with the beams of truth unclouded. You alone to God can win us. You must work all good within us. Gracious Savior, good and kind, light of light from God proceeding, open now our heart and mind. Help us by your Spirit's pleading. Hear the cry your church now raises. Hear and bless our prayers and praises. Amen. So, you ready to work your way through today's passage? Let's get into it. Verse 31. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." So, precisely as Jesus is warning folks that the day of grace doesn't last forever, and that in the end, many of those called last, the Gentiles, will be welcomed to the feast, while many of the Jews will end up missing out. Right then, some Pharisees come up to Jesus and tell him he needs to get out of Dodge because Herod is plotting to kill him. This raises a number of questions, doesn't it? Are these Pharisees telling the truth? Was Herod, in fact, seeking Jesus' life? Remember that we'll hear when we get to the Passion and Pilate sends Jesus to Herod, Luke 23, verse 8. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. That sure does not sound to me like Herod was actually plotting against Jesus. So, it might have simply been a ploy on the part of the Pharisees to scare Jesus. Maybe if he did listen to them and fled, the Pharisees could turn around and say, "See, he's afraid of the king. He's no true Messiah." But of course, Jesus is not afraid of Herod. He replies to these men, verse 32. And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course.'" Jesus is not cowed by any threat from Herod, real or not. And if the threat really did arise from Herod, then Jesus set the king quite a riddle to solve, didn't he? What did Jesus mean by calling him a fox and then saying that he has to cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day he will finish his course? We obviously are not 3 days from his passion or his resurrection at this point. So how are we to understand Jesus' words? First, that he has no cause to flee from Herod. He rather has his vocation to fulfill. He must do the will of him who sent him into this world, and that will was that he drive out Satan from human lives and perform his miracles of healing. He must continue to do so for this present, today, and he will continue doing so in the future, tomorrow, until he finally reaches his third day. Now, this is the third day we confess in the Creed, and on the third day he rose again. And it is by his resurrection from the dead that his course, that is, the vocation he received from his Father, will be completed. Needless to say, if the Pharisees did go and relate any of this to Herod, none of it would have made any sense to him at all. Well, except this much. Jesus is not intimidated. And he is determined to do exactly what his Father sent him into this world to do. St. Cyril of Alexandria, writing in the 5th century, takes the text this way. Listen, he declares his intention of performing what they hated and says that he shall also rebuke the unclean spirits and deliver the sick from their sufferings and be perfected. This means that of his own will, he will endure the passion on the cross for the salvation of the world. He knew, therefore, as it appears, both how and when he would endure death in the flesh. And since he knew that, he wasn't afraid of Herod. It would not be Herod who would kill him, nor would he die up there in Galilee, as he goes on to show. Verse 33. "Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem." Jesus is obviously speaking here ironically. Not all prophets died in Jerusalem, but so many did that it's entirely seemly when God at last sends his son, and no longer just his servants, that his son too, in that holy city, will be killed. As he'd later say, thrown out of the vineyard. See Luke 20, verse 15. So Jesus wends his way toward Jerusalem in the full cognition of what awaits him in his holy city. He's headed there to die, to be rejected by the people. But in that very death and resurrection, to offer up the one holy, perfect, acceptable sacrifice for his people and for all the world to find shelter beneath. His lament continues, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. There is the shocking truth. He loves this recalcitrant city and her children, that is her people. And despite their treatment of his prophets and finally their treatment of him, Jesus remains full of love for his city. As far as he's concerned, he's often tried to offer her children protection, like the mother hen protecting her chicks from the marauding hawk. He would happily have spread his protection over them and kept them all safe. But despite his gospel call, summoning them to shelter beneath his mercy and love, they simply were not willing to do it. He's going to try again, of course, after the resurrection, when he sends his apostles right back into that city with words of eternal life. He'll invite them all to turn, but so many still refuse. Thus, St. Stephen echoes these very words of Jesus in the book of Acts. Acts 7, verses 51 to 53. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Those are the words that caused St. Stephen's blood to be added to those of the long line of rejected prophets, including the righteous one, our Lord Jesus himself. The people resisted the Holy Spirit, who, through Jesus, was always calling them to repent and live to shelter beneath his wings. Verse 35. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This has echoes, doesn't it, of Ezekiel, when the glory of Yahweh departs the temple. See Ezekiel chapters 10 and 11. The house here is best understood as a reference to the temple, and this means that Jesus is not going to be showing up again, as he so often had in the temple, not until he rides in triumph into his city. Cyril again. And after he had walked about Judea and saved many and performed miracles, which no words can adequately describe, he returned again to Jerusalem. It was then that he sat upon a colt of a donkey, while vast multitudes and young children, holding up branches of palm trees, went before him, praising him and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yes. When Jesus returns to Jerusalem, there's going to be no mistaking the claim he will publicly be making. Now, that's where we're going to call our quits for today. Next up, some more Sabbath day conflict as Jesus persists in healing on that day. This time, he's gone to be the guest of a ruler of the Pharisees, and he sees a man who had dropsy, or as we'd say, edema, maybe due to congestive heart failure or something like that. Jesus will challenge his critics, asking if it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not. He just lays the question out there, and they remain utterly silent. Their silence doesn't stop him, of course. Jesus takes the man, heals him, and sends him away. And once more, he returns to the treatment these very people would give to a child or an animal that fell into the well on a Sabbath day. Now, of course, they would get their son or their ox out of the pit. They can't fault Jesus for his argument, but they sure don't like it, not one little bit. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.